The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
Now, have you any queries about your skin care or any problems with your skin that you'd like to get some answers for? Well, our Monday expert this week is dermatologist Dr. Rosemary Coleman. Rosemary, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, the first question that comes up again and again is one of adult acne. It's something you associate with teenagers, but adults do report it. How does it arise?
Well, Pat, the important thing is that adult acne is actually the most common skin disorder in the Western world. And it's a myth that it's a teenage disorder. And so many cases go undiagnosed because people think, well, I can't have spots, you know, spots and wrinkles, that's not fair. So adult acne is terribly common. And one important factor for people to remember is that diet can definitely play a significant role. And the foodstuffs I tell people to watch out for in particular are dairy, because of the hormones in the milk, not hormones added by a farmer, even in organic milk, hormones because it's breast milk. So I coined the term acne latte for all those people who have their daily lattes and cappuccinos and have significant acne. And then the other main categories are sugar and nuts, although recently there was a paper suggesting that people who eat a lot of eggs might be more prone.
So if you adjust your diet accordingly, you might get rid of it. But what about people who plaster on the makeup? I often think that pores get blocked just when you look at a cake on someone's face.
Well, I agree with you completely. I think that's the second big category I always go into, is what people are putting on their skin. So people who have oily, acne-prone skin should always make sure that the skincare products they use are oil-free, non-comedogenic, so non-blackhead-forming, for acne-prone skin. And as you say, preferably not. Well, you see, you can understand that people are going to cake on makeup to cover it up. It's much better to just get rid of the problem. And it can be cured and removed. You know, addressing skincare, addressing diet, and then, of course, using medications.
When you talk about a skincare routine, some people go through all sorts of hoops every day with their skincare routine. Does it have to be so complicated?
No, I don't think it does, particularly not for the younger age group. A problem I've been seeing a lot in the last year or two is what is called acne cosmetica. And I'm seeing this an awful lot in the 20 and 30 year olds who are following over intensive skincare regimens for their age. So it's one thing when you get to your 50s and your 60s, your skin is not functioning the way it used to. You may need more antioxidants, etc., etc., and serum for dehydration and dried out skin. But the 20-year-old girl does not need a few skin serums applied before their sunblock, etc., etc., every day. And they'll come in with a lot of spots, particularly on the forehead. That's where I often see this presenting, rough, gritty skin on the forehead. And indeed, this type of over-luxurious skincare regimen can also lead to rosacea and overgrowth of a very common mite called Demodex. We see a lot of that in Ireland. So really, they should pare back the skin routine, particularly when they're younger. But again, it's all marketing and the internet, Pat.
Now, this question, mid-40s, starting to get smoker's lines around my mouth, although not a smoker. How can I fill up these lines without ending up with a trout pout, the swollen upper lip?
Great question. And I think pick your operator, i.e. your injector, very carefully. These lines cannot be 100% removed for life. And the mistake is that people think that they can, and they keep filling until they end up with that ridiculous, you know, overfilled, distorted sausage look above their top lip. A little bit of very fine filler is excellent. Small drops of Botox are excellent there, as are many of our lasers, microneedling, radio frequency devices. But too much filler is a disaster.
I'm in my 70s. I've noticed freckles on my arms have become raised and are scaly. My doc, who spoke to me on the phone, didn't think it was a problem.
Well, I personally find dermatology impossible to do over the phone and diagnose, even with email. I really do need to see the patients. There are so many things that can cause a raised scaly spot on your arm, obviously including skin cancer and precancerous lesions. There are, of course, many benign conditions like seborrheic keratoses or so-called aging warts that can do it. But you can't say that somebody does not have a skin cancerous lesion or a precancerous lesion over the phone. They need to be seen.
Can you ask the doctor, I have hair follicles on my head turning into lumps which I squeeze. Is there anything I can apply?
Yes, you need to go to see the doctor. So there are many inflammatory skin conditions that affect our scalp. One is called folliculitis decalvans, which is where you get quite a deep-seated bacterial infection in the follicles. And it's very important that you go to the doctor early and get this attended to, because this can scar the scalp. And if you scar the hair follicles, you lose the hair and it will never come back. So it sounds to me like that person is going to need a prolonged course of a drug such as an anti-inflammatory antibiotic or even low Accutane.
This one, a rash appeared on my legs 6 weeks ago, then spread to my whole body. It's red and spotty, slightly raised, but not itchy. I haven't changed my diet, my washing powder or anything else. And then it faded for a short time, but came back again. My GP doesn't know what's causing it. Have you any idea why this might have occurred?
Pat, there are 5,500 skin disorders, rashes, lumps and bumps. I'm afraid that person definitely needs a little trip to a dermatologist and they should be able to sort them out.
Does diet trigger psoriasis?
Personally, I think it does, although I'm very disappointed with the lack of research in this area. But then diet isn't going to make drug companies money, is it? So nobody will really fund it. But I have had so many patients who will say to me over the years that I have cut out a variety of different things for different patients. The most common I hear are dairy, gluten and sugar. And I've had plenty of patients who find that modifying their diet will modify their psoriasis, although there is not a direct, clear, linear link, and it is not an allergy. But sugar, for example, is very inflammatory. So any inflammatory, inflamed, red, hot, angry skin condition can be made worse by a high sugar diet. So personally, I am a believer in diet aggravating psoriasis. But that being said, Pat, even if sugar irritates it, it is still a genetic disorder. And it's very unlikely that cutting out one dietary substance will cure you of your genetic disorder, but it could certainly modify it and help it.
Jay has a question. Does eczema get more manageable as you get older? My 11-year-old is having some bad breakouts lately.
The poor child. For 80%, 80 to 90% of people, the answer is a definite yes. But the important thing, I think, with eczema, particularly in an 11-year-old, is to be very proactive, because I find that if eczema gathers momentum, it will just steadily get worse. So as a child of that age, it's very common for the eczema to be infected. And often if you nip it in the bud and you're quite, you know, intense with the skincare and, of course, topical steroids and probably antibiotics, if you really hit it hard for a short period of time, you can often get it back under control. It's a bit like the fires on Hoth Head. It'll smolder on forever unless you really hit it hard. But the vast majority of people's eczema will disappear going into adult life.
Now, Tracy has a very topical question, if you'll pardon the pun. Does it really matter if you buy cheap supermarket or cheap chemist brand sun cream versus the more expensive brands?
I think that's a very good question, and I'm not sure that we definitely know the answer, because to me it's all about the ingredients, how you apply it, how much you put on and how often you put it on. So no, I suspect it probably doesn't, Pat, if the product works for them. If when they apply it and they apply it frequently, they are not getting burnt through it and they're not getting a deep dark tan, I suspect it's doing the trick. but it is a matter of reapplication. It's the that's the biggest mistake people make in Ireland. Last week when the weather was in the 30s, I would say to people, how many times would you have applied your sunblock if you were sitting in Portugal in that weather today? And they invariably say 4 or 5 or 6, whereas in Ireland they will have put it on once at 8 o'clock in the morning and forgotten about it.
Any advice for a teenager with acne grade 3? What's the best approach?
Well, it depends on who has defined it as grade 3. So I actually don't know what that person means when they say grade 3. So to me, that it must mean that they think it's significant. If there is even a single scar, I would get thee to a dermatologist urgently, because acne is a very serious disorder. But they really should go to a doctor. I would urge them not to waste time having treatments in the local beautician or skincare clinic if they feel that they have significant acne, and particularly if there's any question of scarring, straight to the doctor and get it under control. Because we spend a lot of time treating acne scarring, which is very sad when you consider you can actually prevent that.
And maybe time for one more. I've recurring inflamed spots in my hairline that cause itching and unpleasant redness when my hair is trimmed at the barber's. Nothing seems to work to get rid of them, even prescribed medication.
Well, I wonder, I assume, yeah, no, we must be talking about a man, aren't we? Because you said barbers.
Yeah, the barbers.
So there is a condition called pseudofolliculitis barbi. It's also called, you know, like shaving bumps on the neck, but it can occur on the back of the head if the hair is cut very short. Now, I don't know if you've noticed that in black people, this can often lead to an awful lot of bumps, black bumps, little keloids and scars. So it is quite a significant inflammatory condition. So they may need to be treated with an anti-inflammatory antibiotic at that time. But if they're getting scars again, they may need to be injected with steroids. We would avoid lasering in the scalp because of the risk of hair loss, but they may benefit from a topical antibiotic preparation put on after they've gone to the barbers, antiseptic shampoos. It is a significant medical condition, pseudofolliculitis barbi, because it can lead to scarring and hair loss.
So it should be checked out. Rosemary, a pleasure having you on the show. Thank you very much for joining us, dermatologist Dr. Rosemary Coleman.